Thank you so much to Rossi and the team for leading us so wonderfully well this morning. Friends, just two quick things to bring to your attention. In the hall behind me, there's a beautiful art exhibition that's been produced by Stella Wills and her students. Oh, Brenda. Brenda's back. So good to see you, Brenda. Back from the UK, we've been thinking of you so much, thinking of Sean especially. But just know our thoughts and our prayers and our love are with you so much, Brenda, as you walk this road. So Stella Wills and her students have produced a wonderful art exhibition in the hall behind me. It's all on display, beautiful works of art. In fact, some of the students, some of the artists are our members. And so after the service, while you enjoy a pancake, you can browse around and see some of the art. It's available today and Monday and Tuesday, and then it's all over. So go and have a look and see what's available. And then just the second thing is Green Sleeves. We all know Green Sleeves. We all love Green Sleeves and the work they do. Coming up very soon on the 8th of December, Green Sleeves invites you to their 2018 celebration evening at the Gnubi Hotel. Doesn't that sound great? 3-course Italian meal, live music, welcome drinks. It's all happening on the 8th of December, Saturday, 6 p.m. Di and her team are here this morning. Di, just put your hand up so we know where you are. The team is over there on the left. Tickets are 150 Rand, which includes your welcome drink and your meal. And I would really encourage you, friends, Green Sleeves is one of the most precious, one of the most wonderful organizations serving children in our city. Make a plan to get to the celebration evening. Tickets are available from the Green Sleeves team, or I'm going to put this up in the hall as well, so you can get the contact details off the notice as well. But what a wonderful initiative to support coming up on the 8th of December. All right, if you got your Bibles with you, won't you please turn to Psalm 56? Anybody needing some encouragement this morning? Well, you've come to the right place. Psalm 56, let's read the psalm together and then I'll give you some important background information and context. Psalm 56, it's a psalm written by David when he was going through a very difficult time in his life, and this is what he writes. He says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can man do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. You put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praise to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not delivered my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" What beautiful words from Psalm 56. If you look at the info just above verse 1 in your Bible, you'll discover, like I said, the psalm was written by David when he was a prisoner in the Philistine city of Gath. Now, if you want to keep your finger in Psalm 56 and just quickly backtrack to 1 Samuel chapter 21, you get the information as to why David found himself in the city of Gath. Let me read it to you, 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s?' Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, and he feigned madness in their hands. He scratched on the doors of the gate and let his saliva fall down on his beard." So what had happened was Saul was on a mission to kill David. He was jealous of David. He wanted his life. He was pursuing him. And so David flees to the one city he thinks Saul would never find him, would never think of going, the Philistine city of Gath. Now, just the word Gath should ring a bell in your mind. Where was Goliath the giant from? Goliath was from Gath. And so David had killed Goliath, and so he flees to the very city Goliath was from. And so when he arrives there, the people, the Philistine people they recognize him. "You the man who killed our hero. You the man who killed our giant." And so they seize him. And so in many ways, David is between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, he's got Saul pursuing him, wanting him dead. On the other hand, he's got the Philistines who've captured him now because he's killed their hero. So a very hard place he finds himself in. And of course, he feigns insanity. He begins to scratch on the doors of the gate. He's got saliva dripping down his beard. Because in those days, if you captured a madman, it was taboo to kill him in case bad luck came upon you. And so David acts like he's lost his mind to preserve his life. But in many ways, he's caught between a rock and a hard place with nowhere to go. So just four ways I want us to consider this morning, four ways we can identify with David. Here's the first way. Have you ever, at some point in your life, felt completely and utterly overwhelmed? Have you ever felt overwhelmed by life and by circumstances? David did. Look at the words he uses in verse 1 and 2. "For man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies hound me all day. Many who fight against me, twisting my words. Their thoughts are against me. They lie in wait for my life." These words describe a man under huge pressure. Can somebody relate to that this morning? Like David, you're facing circumstantial pressure, and there's no relenting. Just like wave after wave in the ocean, these waves of pressure just come against your life, and you feel this morning completely and utterly overwhelmed. It may be something big. You may be facing the dreaded disease of cancer. You may be going through a relational crisis. It might be something big in your life. But more often than not, it's little things, the daily pressures of life that just mount up over time, this relentless wave of daily pressure. And this morning, you've come into this space, and like David, your heart simply feels overwhelmed. Where do I go from here? How do I move forward? My heart just feels overwhelmed. The second question you might want to consider is, like David, have you ever been unfairly opposed? Look at the language David uses to describe his opposition. He says, people are pressing him, hounding him, twisting his words, thinking evil thoughts towards him, even wanting him dead. Have you ever, in your context, been unfairly opposed? Like David, maybe people have slandered you and spoken badly of you. And you haven't been able to defend yourself. They've broken down your reputation, your character. Have people hurt you in some way, shape, or form? Friends betrayed you? All of us go through life where we experience not just the feeling of being overwhelmed, but we experience unfair opposition from people. It's part of life, and all of us can relate to it. But how about number three? Have you ever felt completely alone? Loneliness. David did. Can you imagine being in David's shoes? You're alone in a foreign city. You're a prisoner of war, so to speak. You've got Saul wanting your life. You're now in the hands of the Philistines who want you dead. A foreign city, a foreign language, a foreign culture, and you're all alone, just David. Imagine how lonely he must have felt. Can anybody relate to that? I know I can. I remember living overseas in the city of Erzurum with Paula, and although we were surrounded by a million people, we were the only two people in that city who loved and followed Jesus. There was no church, no cell group, no fellowship. And there are many times that I can speak for myself and for Paula that even though we were surrounded by people, there were times of intense loneliness. We just felt completely and utterly alone. You see, don't be confused by crowds. You can be part of a crowd. You can be part of a group of people. And for some reason, you still feel lonely. Can somebody relate to that this morning? And how about the fourth area? Have you ever been afraid? David writes in verse 3, he says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. And then at the end of verse 4, and again in verse 11, he asks a very important question. He says, what can man do to me? That's a great question. What can man do to me? And the answer is, man can do a lot to you. Just read the newspaper. Just watch the news. Just live for a while, and you'll discover, in fact, that man can do a lot of damage to you. Man has the potential to hurt you on multiple levels, and some of you have experienced exactly that. And so the question David asks is a very relevant question. Some of you are sitting here today, and you've been deeply hurt by people. You've been abused on many levels by somebody. You've been betrayed by somebody. You see, never be mistaken. Man can do a lot of damage to you. What can man do to me is a very relevant and very real question that David asks. Some of you have been damaged not just by men, but by circumstances. Something comes against your life that you couldn't see, you couldn't predict. And that circumstance has the potential to damage you and to discourage you. Some of you have been on the receiving end of that. So David, surrounded by enemies, he's clearly very afraid. Can I ask a question this morning? Does anybody in this building from time to time struggle with fear? Can you, like David, say, whenever I'm afraid, there are times my heart is overwhelmed with fear. For some of you, it's the fear of the unknown. What goes through your mind is, what does the future hold? Not just for me, but for my children and for my grandchildren. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure. What if I try and do something for God or do something in life, but I fail? Fear of the future. All these different fears can immobilize us. You see, that's what fear does, friends. Fear will keep you in those chairs. It immobilizes you. It keeps you. And that's exactly what David was experiencing, this feeling of intense fear. And so the question is, how does David deal with his fear? Well, he says in verse 3, he gives us the answer. He says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Verse 4, he says it again. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. So what do you do when your heart feels overwhelmed? What do you do when you're wrongfully opposed? What do you do when you feel so intensely lonely? What do you do when your heart is gripped by fear? Let me tell you what you do. You put your trust in the character of God. My friends, people change. You change. Circumstances always change, but guess what? God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the rock of ages. He's the anchor for your soul. When you feel overwhelmed, when you feel opposed by people, when you feel intensely lonely, when your heart is gripped by fear, put your trust in the character of God. He is good and He is faithful. You see, it's so easy in that moment of fear, in that moment of loneliness, to be consumed by the circumstance. All you can see is what's going on around you. How many of you can relate to that? It's so hard even to pray, even to read the Bible. You're overwhelmed, you're consumed by the circumstance. And so, friends, the challenge to you today is to make a decision right now. To put your trust in the character of God. Make a decision right now, no matter what's going on in your heart, your emotions, your mind, your circumstances, fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't allow yourself to become overwhelmed and consumed by what's going on around you. God is good and He's faithful. You know, this morning I woke up early and for some reason, I turned to that beautiful old hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Who doesn't love that hymn? Man, as the sun rose this morning, to hear those beautiful words echoing through my study, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God our Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. All I've needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, God, unto me." Friends, I want to tell you, God is faithful. God is faithful. You can take His faithfulness to the bank. Life is unfair. Life is unpredictable. You can sometimes feel overwhelmed, but God is faithful. I love the words David writes towards the end of his life. Maybe 70, 80, 90 years old, and he looks back over his life, and this is what he writes. He says, "I was once a young man, but now I'm old. Yet in all my life, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread." You know what David says? As I look back over the course of my life, life hasn't always been easy. Life hasn't always been fair. But through the good, the bad, and the ugly, God has been faithful. I'm sure many of our elderly members today could say, "Mark, you know what? That's my testimony. I've been through life. I've been through the storms of life. I've been overwhelmed. I've been opposed. I've been lonely. I've been afraid. But through it all, God has been faithful." Faithful. Nine times in this psalm, nine times, David refers to God by the name Elohim. Elohim is a beautiful name. It's different to Yahweh. It's different to Jehovah. Nine times he uses the name Elohim. You know what Elohim means? It means that God is majestic. God is all-powerful. So David says, "Yes, I'm overwhelmed. Yes, I'm lonely. Yes, I'm opposed. Yes, I'm afraid. Yes, I'm a prisoner." But you know what? Elohim is in charge. This mighty, supreme God of the universe who calls the stars by name, Elohim is my God. And therefore, there's hope. There's hope. Friends, I want to tell you, it's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. What man can do to you must be put in the light of what God can do for you. Listen to that. Keep it in perspective. What man can do to you is insignificant in comparison to what God can do for you. Elohim is on your side. The God of the universe who calls the stars by name. He holds Bobby Petz's life in the palm of his hand. Nothing is hidden from his life. And God will, Elohim will be faithful. Be encouraged. Lift up your eyes this morning. You see, fear focuses on what man and circumstance can do to you. Faith focuses on what Elohim can do for you. And I believe David is echoing those words that Paul writes many years later in Romans chapter 8, where he says, rhetorical question, if God be for me, then who can be against me? Send my regards to that person. If God be for me, well, then who can be against me? This morning, if you're feeling overwhelmed or opposed or lonely or afraid, I want to remind you, my friend, that your life is not hidden from God. You have not disappeared from His memory. He has not forgotten about you. Even the very details of your life, your innermost fears and dreams and hopes are known by God. The number of hairs in your head, He knows. Not difficult for some, but for others a bit more challenging. And He holds your life in the palm of His hand. Elohim is on your side. Be encouraged. Well, it gets better. Not only is Elohim supremely powerful, but also David reminds us in verse 1 that He is merciful and gracious. Be merciful to me, O God. My friends, God, when He sees somebody battling, as you may be this morning, you see someone whose heart's overwhelmed or someone who's battling with opposition or lonely or afraid, He doesn't distance Himself from you. He offers you grace and mercy. What is grace? Grace is unlimited, undeserved favor. This morning, be honest. Who needs a portion of grace in their context? I want to say to you today, God is a storehouse of grace. There's so much grace to go around this morning. There's some for you and for you and for you and for you. But you see, grace can't be earned. Grace can't be deserved. It can only be gratefully received. Will you receive some grace from the God of grace this morning? Well, let's wrap it up by looking at the most beautiful verse in the entire psalm. I'm sure it caught your eyes as I read it to you. Verse 8, David says, "You number my wanderings. You put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book?" You see, David knows that he's praying to a God who sees everything. A God who hears everything. A God who has not missed one single detail of your life. And as you feel overwhelmed this morning, as you feel opposed and lonely and afraid, just understand God knows, God sees, God hears, and God understands. And He offers you mercy and grace. Look what David says in verse 13 as he ends his psalm. He says, "For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not delivered my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living." What an amazing contrast from verse 1. In verse 1, he's overwhelmed, he's afraid, he's opposed. But you see, David speaks these words when circumstantially nothing has changed for him, but he remembers who he's praying to. He remembers that God is a God, listen to this, who delivers people from darkness and death. Oh my goodness, this is why we sing. This is why we pray. This is why hope always rises in our hearts, because we serve a God who delivers people from darkness and death. And for some of you, that's your story. You've been there. And so the psalm begins with darkness, but it ends with hope, that I may walk before God in the land of the living. Similar words to those David writes in Psalm 27, verse 13. He said, I would have lost heart, I would have given up, unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. My friends, what do you do this morning? What do you do when you feel overwhelmed? What do you do when you're unfairly opposed? What do you do when you feel intensely lonely? What do you do when your heart is gripped by fear? You make the decision to lift up your eyes to Elohim, the all-powerful, supreme God of the universe, who holds your life in the palm of his hand, and you make a decision right now to put your trust in him. Put your trust in him. Let us pray. I truly believe that God led me to that psalm for a reason this week. There were so many other messages going through my mind that I could have preached. But I just had a feeling that many in this building, given the context of our world and the difficulties of life, are feeling overwhelmed. Some of you are on the verge of giving up and losing hope. Some of you feel discouraged because you've been unfairly opposed, or for some reason you just feel really lonely. Others feel afraid. And I believe God gave me this message to encourage you today. And if that is you, I want to just remind you about a story that happened in Mark chapter 4. Where the disciples found themselves in that storm, unexpected storm, very powerful storm. Some of you are there this morning. You can relate exactly to that. The winds of life are beating against you, the waves are crashing against your life, and you're just hanging on, trying to survive. You know what, my friend? In that moment, Jesus Christ stands up in that boat. Remember, he was in the boat all along. He's in your boat as well. He hasn't left you. He never will leave you. He'll never forsake you. But he stands up in that boat, and Jesus Christ supernaturally speaks above the wind and the waves. And he simply says three words. Shalom. Be still. Peace. Peace. Be still. Father, for those this morning who are feeling absolutely overwhelmed, for those, Lord, who are feeling opposed by the slander and the criticism of others. For those, Lord, who may be elderly or who may be bereaved or who just feel intensely lonely. Father, for those whose hearts are gripped by fear. Lord Jesus Christ, won't you speak those same words you spoke 2,000 years ago into their context this morning. Shalom. Peace. Be still. My friend, may God give you the grace this morning from his unlimited storehouse of grace, the grace to endure what you're going through, the grace to lift up your eyes above your pain and above your discouragement and above your disillusionment. whatever you're going through, and fix your gaze on Elohim. Elohim, the majestic, all-powerful, supreme God of the universe. Life is hard. Life is unfair. But Elohim is good, and He is faithful. Thank you, Father. I release your people, Father, this morning into your hands. May they go in peace, and may the peace of God go with them. In Jesus' name, amen.